Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today our topic is take the toxic out of the holidays. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio and Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift we have given away.
Hi, everyone. First, I want to share with you my ultimate worst holiday, and you want to talk about toxic. It was the last Christmas that I spent married to my ex. We had been fighting so much. I wasn't really looking forward to Christmas. I was seriously contemplating whether or not leaving him was the right choice. And my kids were teenagers, and we did get this tree, and we never even really decorated the tree. My 5-year-old niece came over, and she was like, "How come the tree's not decorated, Aunt Cindy?" So she made some popcorn strings and threw it on the tree. So this is how my tree was decorated. Considering past holidays, I had always decked the halls and had lots of family and friends at my house during the holidays. This year was nothing like that. It was pretty somber. And my niece also, she made this, she got a little cardboard piece of paper and colored a little star on there and cut it out, and that was my tree topper. And then I didn't have very many gifts, but on Christmas morning, I was thinking, okay, you know, I want Earl to sit there and watch the kids open the presents because he got up early, went into his garage, and there he was. So I was telling the kids, go over there so your dad can watch you open your gifts. But instead, I sort of screwed it up like we all do, and I said, go over there so your gifts can open your dad or something. You know, I twisted my words around. And Earl proceeded to yell at me for like 4 hours because of my twist of the tongue. My kids wound up just going in the bedroom and spending the rest of the morning there. And I spent the rest of the day just crying and really upset. And looking back at this, I mean, there was definitely tons of problems in our relationship before then, and eventually he just went back into the garage. So the day definitely got better once he went back into the garage. So this is what prompted me to want to discuss toxic, you know, how to take the toxic out of the holidays. Somebody was on there. I don't know if that's you. I said that's why I decided that, you know, I've been talking to a lot of my clients recently about taking the toxic out of the holidays. So whether you're still with somebody or whether you're alone for the first time, you may feel that there's a lot of toxicity in your holidays.
You know, what's interesting is that I've never really had a quote unquote toxic relationship in during the holidays, but I did have a toxic situation in during some celebrations. I love to entertain, and I love live music. So I would have celebrations, you know, at my home. Just mostly for my birthday, but, you know, or whatever other occasion. And in the relationship I was in, and then again, I would put most of the time, effort, and energy to have these celebrations. And in the relationship I was in, she would also contribute, you know, doing it. Well, the following day, you know, she would start complaining that it lasted too long. She was exhausted. She was tired. And don't get me wrong, she put her time, effort, and energy into it also as much as I did. But the next day, you know, she would start complaining. And after a while, I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it all. And I would start, and then if an occasion, you know, arose, you know, I would start putting it all together. I would do everything. You know, I would do 95% of whatever it took to make the celebration happened. And eventually that evolved to, okay, now this person started feeling not involved. And, like, she didn't know what was going on and blah, blah, blah. But what I was doing, in my mind, I was relieving her of the pressure and the physical stress and mental stress of putting these celebrations together. And then eventually that evolved to, okay, well, let's go to somebody else's house and do it. And she would complain about, you know, I really don't want to go, too far away. So I was putting myself in no-win situations. And eventually it came to the point where we just started doing things separately. You know, I would want to do a celebration or I want to go somewhere and celebrate with my family or whatever. And she would just go off with her family. So it wasn't during the holidays that this existed, but it was during celebrations, especially one around birthdays, especially mine or a family member.
Yeah, and you know, you brought up something that I caught a whole, you know, really caught in your story, is that you were trying to relieve her pressure, but it wasn't relieving it. And I find during the holidays, especially if you're in a toxic relationship or it's the first time that you're alone after a breakup from a long-term relationship, you can feel left out, and or you could feel like I have to do everything and take care of all these other people, when in effect you're driving yourself more crazy. And if whenever you're doing something, you need to do it totally for yourself. And other people, if they're feeling excluded, then it's like, oh, it all comes down to communication. It always comes down to communication. Because if you're doing something and you want to do it, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for somebody else? Because, you know, during the holidays, it's always, it's like, you know, let's spread the love, let's give, 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 give. But a huge question to ask everybody, are you giving from your heart? Are you giving because you feel like you should?
That's a solid point, Cindy. And it's funny because I'm willing to bet that most people are giving because they think they should. That's not to say that people don't give from their heart, but I think a lot of people give because they feel that they should give, even though they don't want to. And that in itself is toxic. But on the flip side, so let's deal with this. On the flip side, and sometimes other people are expecting something from you. And right or wrong, that's the way it is. So part of your ego jumps in and says, well, you know what, Al? You should give because they're expecting something. So you're giving because you think you should. But if you don't give, then eventually you'll hear about it. I mean, eventually you'll say, hey, you know, I was hoping I would get a gift from you. I was hoping I would get invited to your celebration. I was hoping that I would see you, at least get a phone call from you, but I didn't get nothing from you. Then you hear that aspect. So where do you draw the line?
And you know, that's it too. I understand what you're saying there, but also, how selfish is it of the person that's saying, I expected this from you and you didn't come through? Okay, seriously, because, you know, there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of people who don't even celebrate the holidays, or, you know, you have different types of holidays. I know you and I are both, you know, into the Christmas and per se you know, Santa Claus and stuff. But then there's lots of Jewish people, there's lots of, you know, Indians and different cultures who they celebrate the holidays in a total different way than what we're accustomed to. And so if somebody just, you know, even if it's your wife, it's like there may be some hurt feelings. But if you're just doing it because you should and it's a big chore for you, I personally don't think that maybe it's the best thing. And also, you know, there's so much of it. Most of us would say, yes, we have. How many of us have received a gift card from somebody and thought, gee, they didn't even think enough of me to buy gifts. They just gave me a gift card.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've definitely heard that. And I'm going to be honest. I buy them. You know?
Yeah, so, I buy them too, yeah.
So,
you know,
okay,
and
so then, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and there's nothing wrong. Some people, like my husband, prefers gift cards. He prefers them, and he doesn't get the same sort of joy of like being surprised and stuff. And then you have other people, you know, it's like really let's think about what the person wants. And whenever you're giving because you love, and what one of these things, and it doesn't even have to be something that's super expensive. And we always think expensive. We think we have to buy these big elaborate gifts. One of the best gifts that I ever received was something my sister made for me. It's just a little tissue box, and she wrote on there, you know, sisters are love, I love you. And this is one of my best gifts. And so it came from her heart. And it's funny, and we think about different things. My son, grandson, he's 7 years old, okay, and sort of the way that a child thinks. About 5 or 6 months ago, sometime during the summer, he wanted to play with my son's computer, and Brian was working. Brian said, well, I'm working on it, so I can't. He goes, but I'll tell you what, one day when I get a new computer, I'll give you this one. I'll give you this laptop. So David got it in his head that the only way he could get a laptop or a computer of his own is if his daddy got a new one. So whenever David wrote his Christmas list, he even gave it to his mom, sort of funny since they're separated, his mom and his dad. But the first thing on his list was, I want a new computer for my daddy. So he's thinking, you know, and so you think this is like really giving, really loving. It's not even like a little, it's sort of selfish, but it's sort of not. But in his head, he thinks the only way he can get a computer is if his daddy gets a new one. And it's really sort of been funny playing with him on this. But my husband just bought a new computer, so he redid his old computer. We're giving his old computer to my grandson. So this was, again, completely out of love. And my grandson is going to be ecstatic because in his little brain, he only thinks that he can get a computer if his daddy gets a new one. And so it's whenever you think about, you know, what it is that you want, sometimes whenever you're giving to somebody else, or you want something for somebody else, like David wants his daddy to have a new computer, sometimes this is an unselfish act because he, even though he's thinking of himself, he's also thinking of how much he loves his daddy and that his daddy needs a new computer. Is that making sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, it does. And I'm going to add something to this as I was listening to you. You know, obviously, to some degree, you consider what the other person is "quote unquote" expecting, and I'm going to use your example of the gift card. I've heard the comeback like, "Guy, you didn't even have time to go shopping for me, so you give me a gift card." I've heard it. And you know, I just look at the person and say, wow, you know, they're not even being grateful. But so obviously take consideration about what the other person would like to receive, you know. But the bottom line is, and I'm going to use what you said, Cindy, if you're giving from your heart, if it comes from your heart, you know, and you really got to take a look at yourself, because if you're just looking for the easy way out, that's not giving you from your heart. But if you give from your heart, or whatever, or you're having a holiday party from your heart, or you're doing a celebration from your heart, and the other person doesn't respond how you would like them to respond, or they seem not grateful, that's their drama. That's their situation. That's their scenario. That's what they're going through. That's their perception. That's how they view the experience, or how they view you, or how they feel about you, or how they feel about the experience. So as long as you've done your part and you've given from your heart, that's all that matters, because you know in your mind and in your heart you did the right thing. And the other person, whatever they're feeling, whatever they're going through, that's their drama, because it comes from their perception. And there's nothing you can do about their perception. Their perception is what they believe to be true. And then it becomes judgmental, and they start viewing things from a judgmental perspective. And then they say, okay, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. I'm tired of this. I'm stressed out, blah, blah, blah. You could have done better. This is all I get. This is all I'm worth to you. This is all I deserve. No, it's all their perspective. So I guess what I'm saying here, the answer is, if you're giving from your heart, that's all that matters. And I understand this aspect of it. If they have a comeback for you, or they don't acknowledge you, or they're stressed out, or they really don't accept your gift of the celebration, whatever, it's going to sting a little bit. We're human, and I get that, and I understand that. But eventually, just tell yourself, you know what? I did the best I could. I gave it all from my heart, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. And that's the huge point of what I was trying to make, even whenever I said give only if you want to give. Because if you're giving just to make the other person happy or to avoid the other person, there's no making other people happy. And sometimes you can get them the best gifts or whatever, and they're still not happy. But that is their problem. And it's not your problem. And so often we want to take other people's problems as our own. We think other people's perceptions mean more than our own feelings and perceptions. And the world, all of us, would be so much, there would be so much more peace and so much love, more love in the world if, to borrow from Byron Katie, if we just all chose to be in our business instead of everybody else's business. And for those of you who may not understand what I'm saying, Byron Katie is a great motivational speaker, and she says there's three types of businesses in this world. There's your business, my business, and God's business. And typically we don't argue so much about God's business, but we are always in other people's business. He should have liked my gift. He should have bought me something better. He should have asked me out. He should have done this. He should have done that. What's he doing? Oh, my God. Is he taking his new girlfriend to his mom's? How dare he do that? And we've only been broken up for a month. We have all these things. We're in somebody else's business. And the problem is if you're in somebody else's business, there's nobody taking care of your business. And so if we all just focus on ourselves and our business, what is our business, we would all be more happier, the holidays would be better, and there again would be so much more love in there. And I do want to make time, Al, because I do want to talk about a little bit more about, taking the toxic out is always about self-love. And just what I just said, to being in your business is self-love. And if you've listened to Al and I before, you know that that's always our theme, because really being happy and having a good life all starts with self-love, because otherwise you're so busy trying to make other people happy and you're ignoring your own deep desires and wants and who you are, and that's what's making you miserable, not the other people. You're miserable because you're not taking care of yourself.
Well said, Cindy. And going back to what I was saying a moment ago, is when you give from your heart, And it comes from your heart, and especially when you have the self love, that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because you know you're doing the best you could. You're coming from your heart, and you have enough self love that you know what, this is what I'm presenting to you. This is my gift to you, and it comes from my heart, and it comes because I love myself. Now it's up to you how you accept it, and how you accept it. It's that's your truth, and you're right, because when you come from a foundation of self-love, then nothing else matters. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters.
And I wanted to add this, as far as taking the toxic out of holidays, there's two things. Number one, a lot of people, especially depending upon where they are, expect the holidays to be crappy. Whenever I shared my last holiday with you, I had an expectation that the holiday would be crappy. We so often have these expectations that because our life isn't the way we want it, or somebody doesn't love us, so we just broke up, or our kids are going to visit their dad and we're going to be alone, whatever it is, we start expecting to have this crappy holiday season. And that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So one of the ways you can take the toxic out of that is to let people know that you're, number one, to let people know you're available for, you know, for parties. People aren't going to invite you if they don't think you're available. So you have to be bold enough and brave enough to tell people, hey, you know any parties? You know, I'm looking, you know, for some nice holiday parties to go to. You can go and you can volunteer at a homeless shelter. But you can also go to the hospital and visit kids. You can go to long-term care facilities and visit older people. You can just go walk the streets and visit the homeless people. There, you could go to the movies. You could go to an opera. There are all types of things. And so if you want to take the toxic out of the holidays, only you can do it. And number one, it's by stop expecting the holidays to be horrible. And number two, ask yourself what you can do that's going to fill your heart and possibly help other people. When you do a good deed for somebody else, your happiness level increases. So does the person that you did the good deed for, and so does everybody else that watched it. So if you are, if you go to the store and you buy the thing for the person in front of you or the person behind you, anybody that witnessed that is going to elevate their happiness. And what a better way than doing small things like this to really spread the love and joy of the holidays?
I have an interesting question for you. Let's say, and you hear these horror stories, especially around Thanksgiving mostly, that when family members get together, all hell breaks loose. And it usually happens around Thanksgiving. So you have this repetition of reoccurring events that are happening on Thanksgiving. And mm-hmm. and Thanksgiving is coming up and you're regretting it. Because you know that by the end of the night, somebody's going to get into an argument or something's going to happen. And let's say you're just an observer. You're not really a participant of the ongoing toxic relationships that are going on within family members or whatever. What do you do?
And you're expecting it to happen. You're expecting it to happen. But what do you do? Well, you take the path of least resistance. If you can sit there and actually just sort of watch them and look at them like, wow, this is interesting, same old, when are they ever going to learn? And sort of make it like a movie, number one. Number two, you can choose to leave. And you could even tell the people. So if Uncle John and Uncle Sam always get into a fight, you know, during the holidays, you can tell them, look, I really am looking forward to a really nice day spending with my family. And I will tell that the last couple of years, the two of you have sort of ruined it because you're fighting over such and such. And if you start fighting, I am going to leave. And if it's at your house, if you start fighting, I'm going to ask you to leave. And if you can recruit some other family members to back you up and go in and say, hey, this is what we want our holiday to be like. This is what we expect of you. And we're not going to accept this bad behavior from you. Then that is the start of making it be untoxic. Because it's whenever you tell people what you expect of them, you're 80 to 90% more likely to get it. You know, you can also just visualize, especially if you're involved, you can visualize things that are, plan what you're going to say. People that are getting a divorce, they're always like, I don't want people to ask me about my divorce. And I always ask them, how can you turn it around? You know these people. What questions can you ask them to turn it around to where they're not so focused on what you're doing? Because they're really not as focused as you think they are. So if you know what Uncle John and Uncle Sam always fight about, what questions can you ask them, and what can you tell them to start with to maybe ward it off? Or if you are keen enough to know that when is that split second that the argument starts, it could be hours before the actual thing. What can you project into the day to make it different?
Awesome. How's your holidays coming around, Cindy?
My holidays this year, they're coming around good. My children are both coming to my house, and we have Mike's family over. So they're definitely, you know, they're here. I'm actually looking forward to it because it's the first time that my son has been able to come to my house with my grandson for Christmas in quite a few, well, in forever. My grandson has never been at my house on Christmas. So I'm looking forward to being able to stay at home and have my dinner here the way I like it rather than having to go somewhere else.
Phenomenal. Well, and for the audience, I guess I'm going to make an announcement here. I now live in Baja, California. I'm in a beach house, and I'm loving it.
Woo-hoo!
It's going to be my first It's going to be my first Christmas. It's going to be my first Christmas that, well, interesting aspect is on December 26th, I fly out to China to go speak over there. I'm going to be gone for like 16, 17 days. And so I'm going to stay here in the beach house instead of going back to California and celebrating Christmas with my family. So it's going to be an interesting Christmas for me. I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, I'm at a beach house in Baja, so I'm going to enjoy that. And then right after, the following day, I'm flying out to China. So I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like you and I are both going to have different Christmases this year compared to the last few years. And I wish you all the best, Cindy.
Oh, thank you. I wish you the best, too. And Al's move is one of the reasons why we haven't been able to do the show in a few weeks. And so I appreciate everybody being patient. I appreciate everybody that's on the call with us today. And I'm sure that whenever you're in China, we'll probably have to skip a few weeks again. But then we'll get back on track with our every week, our weekly shows. But I always want to remind everybody we have tons of shows that you can go and watch the reruns on, or not the reruns, but you can go listen to all the previous shows. So if you've missed any of the shows, you know, check out the Your Toxic Relationship dance page on Facebook, and there's a link there where you can go see all of the previous shows.
We're going to have another show before the end of the year. It will be next Friday. So please tell the world and share the show. You know what? I don't think you mentioned at the very beginning about our Facebook page. Can you mention that?
No, we didn't. Well, that's what I just did. It's facebook.com/groups/ Your Toxic Relationship Dance.
And I would ask the audience, I would ask you to share our radio show with everybody and anybody. And also share on our Facebook page that Cindy just mentioned. Share with the world.
Yes.
Our group has grown exponentially, and we're here to hear your comments, your questions, your thoughts, anything. Even share your wisdom, whatever you have. Again,
we
Cindy,
are here
Cindy
to serve.
Go ahead.
We are here to serve you in any way that we can. And also, I wanted to say that you really want to stay tuned because we really have some exciting, exciting, super exciting stuff planned in 2017 that's going to blow your socks off. So you want to be sure that you stay tuned in with us.
Absolutely. You might even join us pretty soon together in the intimate setting, but we'll talk about that later. Again, for the audience, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach. Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from the existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, join us and listen to the wisdom. And we will bring on special guests once a month. So listen to them because they have special and unique wisdom to share with us also. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Cindy, as usual, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
Thank you. And you're awesome, Mr. Al. And big hugs and big love to all of our listeners. And you can reach me by going to Coaching for Divorced Women. See you later. Bye.
Have a great day.